Hello and welcome to the OTP, the one true podcast for fanfiction readers, writers, and lovers. I'm your host and mod, Enthusiasm Girl. So our episode today is timely, even if it is dropping a little bit after I had hoped that it would. I apologize that we did take a little bit of a hiatus recently. My real life unfortunately intruded on the show. But we're back, and we're talking about Homestuck this episode. When we recorded this back in the middle of March, we knew that an update to the webcomic was possibly coming sometime in April after a long hiatus, which is why we did the show, but we had no idea that it would actually begin updating again on March 28th, and that creator Andrew Hussey actually meant it this time when he said that the comic was ending. So this episode actually now has a new significance for Homestuck fans, and it's a good chance for those of you who are now seeing mournful fans of it, squeeing and talking about it again on your Dash or other social networks, to learn a bit more about why that is and what it is. This is the first show I've done as well where I was not really all that familiar with the subject matter. It features Birdie and our new contributor, Joan, and basically they're trying to explain it to me with only limited success, which was very entertaining from my point of view, and I hope you find it entertaining as well, and that means that if you are listening to this thinking, well, I don't know anything about Homestuck, so I'm going to check out this episode, I would advise you not to, because it's meant kind of for new fans as well as older fans to enjoy. And you don't hear as much from me this episode versus usual, but that's okay, because I learned a lot, and I hope you will too. So join me in trying to figure out what exactly Homestuck is, what the fandom is all about, and what it is about, and why now might just be the perfect time for you to dive in and give the webcomic a look if you haven't already. Contributor Joan with me today, and I have Birdie with me today.
Hi.
And we are going to go over a brief history of Homestuck fandom.
Oh boy, let me tell you about Homestuck.
Yes, because I don't know anything. I don't know the first thing about Homestuck, so I'm relying on you two contributors to help me relay to any noobs out there considering getting into that fandom the ins and outs of it. So go ahead and tell me about Homestuck.
Well, we can't do the ins and outs because we don't have like 5 hours, but we could get you the
six, seven, 20.
We could get you a brief summary, maybe.
We will scratch the surface. We'll try and get into the shallowest level of the kiddie pool here.
Okay. So what is Homestuck?
Homestuck is a webcomic written and drawn by Andrew Hussey. It's hosted on the MSPA forums. And it follows initially the adventures of 4 kids, but it eventually explodes into this huge cast of like 30 more people that ends up being almost literally infinite, with a lot of time travel and world-ending mechanics that make for very confusing but also very interesting storytelling. And at the heart, it's sort of a coming-of-age thing with a lot of shenanigans in it.
Okay. Now, you said the MSPA forums. Let's define that, because most people in the world of fan fiction are kind of thinking Tumblr, AO3, normal places you get fic from, but the webcomic lives in a particular place, right? So MSPA is MS Paint Adventures, right?
Yes, that's right. Yep. Previously, Hussey had done one or two other comics, particularly Problem Sleuth, which is a precursor to Homestuck, and a lot of people who are really old fans of Homestuck actually started by reading Problem Sleuth, and there are a couple of references to Problem Sleuth in Homestuck, which I admittedly do not often catch because I did not read Problem Sleuth. So it's called MSPA Forums because Hussey draws using MS Paint. He drew Problem Sleuth using MS Paint, and he draws Homestuck using MS Paint, and both these comics are hosted on the same forum, so he just does it under one place, which is MSPA.
Okay.
You know.
So, Birdie, I'm going to ask you, maybe can you provide us a little bit of a kind of a plot synopsis, maybe just letting us know some of the main characters? just kind of
basics of what to expect from Homestuck.
Well, the thing that really defines Homestuck is that it's a slow-moving plot to begin with. Like, the first act is not even a quarter of the size of some of the later acts. So, like, it's divided into acts. There's about seven all up. We're currently in six. Yeah, we're about somewhere in the middle of Act 6 is where the comic is right now in terms of updating. But the acts get bigger and bigger and bigger each time it goes on. But the first act is pretty much, there's four kids who are friends online, they've never met in person, and they're playing a game together. And, you know, there's all the shenanigans around introducing the main character that we start with, John, and it's his birthday. On the 13th of April, and he's going to play a game, and it's going to be fun, but the shenanigans trying to get the game going, and then the world ends at the end of the act.
All right.
Yep, that's...
I do like a story where you say the world ends, and the story's not over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's just beginning.
That's the first act, which is, like, what, 1,000 pages or something? Not even? No, it'd be a couple hundred
pages.
It's tiny.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, so... Homestuck as a fandom has been around since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know the article that I was reading on Fanlore said that as of 2012, it was 7,100 pages.
Yes.
And that was as of 2012. So that was like 4 years ago.
It's about 8,000 pages you're looking at currently.
So, okay. So we have this kind of a webcomic, which, I mean, when I looked at too, it's a webcomic, but it's kind of formatted like a text-based game.
Yes.
Yeah. Homestuck initially, and, you know, in a continuing way, Hussey made is kind of an homage to those really old kind of text-based games where in order to play them, you have to input commands. You know, you're like you find yourself in a dungeon. Which way do you go? North, south, east, or west? And then you type it and it says you go north. And in the north, you find X, Y, and Z. What do you do with X, Y, and Z? And so that's where the comment box comes in the early beginning of the game. So, you know, the first page is John, but we don't know what his name is yet because it's 13 years, but only today he will be given a name. And so, you know, people typed in what they wanted to name him. And some of the suggestions were really silly, like Zoom Smell Poop Lord. So he didn't end up being called Zoom Smell. He ended up being called John Egbert. And that's how all four of the kids were named. All four of the initial kids were named. And, you know, as the first act continues, you know, it was run by these suggestion boxes that Hussey had the fans put in and input their suggestions for what the kids to do next, like do you pick up the birthday cake, do you leave the birthday cake, do you try and go past your dad, do you ignore your dad, you know, that sort of thing. So it really was apparently an interactive sort of deal back in the day. I don't know about that because I came in a couple of years later, well after he closed the suggestion boxes.
Same.
There were suggestion boxes. There was a really healthy forum. The vibe that I got when I was looking over kind of some of the histories that exist on the internet of Homestuck fandom are to that early Homestuck fandom, they were not as open to smut and to kinkier stuff, and that had to be created in a separate area as well, right? So a lot of this early fic and things, they weren't going on an AO3 or anywhere else. They were going on the MSPA forum. And then there had to be MSPA Chan and Home Smut created where the dirtier stuff could kind of live as the fandom expanded. Is that correct?
That's what I've heard. Again, I came in way after all this happened. So yeah. By the time I came in, it was post-Cascade. So that's like 3 years into it. And by then, everybody had already migrated to AO3 and to Tumblr. And, you know, the forums were still going on, but the majority of the fic had moved to AO3. And actually, Homestuck was where I actually got majorly introduced to AO3, because before that, I was still getting fic off of fanfiction.net.
Okay. Yeah, it surprised me that there was a large number of places that Homestuck fandom lived kind of pre-congregating on AO3, and that there were separate areas that had to be created for anything that was going to be adult.
And that it was kind of spread across not just the MSPA forums, but the Penny Arcade forum and 4chan and several other places. And it's apparently still really over a diverse number of areas of the internet where there isn't necessarily one place where the fandom congregates the way with some other fandoms happens.
Mm. Oh, I would definitely say that.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of those things you can't go to one site and get all the stuff from. It's sort of everywhere. There's no one site that I can think of that I'd just go to get home stuff.
Well, my understanding of it, too, is also because of the fact that they've pulled People for Art and Music from the fandom, because of the fact that it is this MS Paint Adventures kind of sort of a text-based game, but mostly a webcomic, but that they've dabbled as well in little browser games and other kinds of things to tell the story. It tends to have a lot more fan music and fan art.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Sort of a more diverse array of types of fan works besides fic being created for it.
Oh, for sure. Like, pretty much any kind of creative endeavor you can imagine, Homestuck's been there. Like, there are games that people have made. There are text-based works that are, you know, run like Homestuck initially was. There are there's so much music. Like, I have an entire folder just for Homestuck music because there's just so much of it, especially before the big hiatuses. There was just so much stuff. Like, all this stuff.
Yeah. And, like, that's not even counting the canon music. Like, there's a shitload of canon music that's part of the canon stuff. And then there's fan-made music that isn't canon, but sort of was created to become canon, but didn't quite make the cut, and it's online anyway.
And then, even with the canon music, there are fan animations.
Yes.
Both of canon things and non-canon things, and a bunch of people got together and made an animated video of the trolls fight against the Black King to the Rex Dominus Anglic, you know, to that music.
Yes,
to
the music.
And it's 7 minutes long, and it's by a bunch of different people, and it's really cool to watch because, you know, they've got a bunch of different styles, and it's all animated and put together really nice, and you know, all the trolls get in one shot or another, and it's built off of, because we didn't see that fight in canon. We only get hints of what the kid, you know, what they're talking about later, and through that, they piece together what that fight might have been like, and they drew it out and animated it and put it to that specific music that goes with it.
Because you have all this diversity of fan work happening, is it collaborative as a fandom? Do people tend to stay in their separate silos? Or like you said, it would have taken a lot of people to put together that 7-minute video, right?
I would say I've seen a lot of collaboration in the Homestuck fandom, but I've also seen a lot of fighting, a lot of infighting, a lot of nastiness.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said when people collaborate so easily, but also because it's such a huge fandom and it attracts a bunch of different people that not everybody's going to get along together and not everybody's going to be nice about it.
Right.
And so that does lead to, you know, some very talented people who don't feel comfortable collaborating with the fandom because of, you know, very real fears they have about being harassed.
Mm. Okay. And I mean, we'll come back to that later because we'll talk a little bit about controversies and issues in the fandom in a little bit. But I want to bring it back to this idea. So we brought this up a few times, the Cascade. And I know a lot of people will divide Homestuck fandom into kind of pre-Cascade and post-Cascade, and you said that the Cascade happened about, what, 3 years in?
Yeah.
2012, 2011. Again, this was before my time, so I wasn't around for it. But what happened was, as far as I could piece together from, like, history stuff on the internet, was the timeline, okay, a little short history of the timeline. So the first act is just all the kids. And then a little later, these antagonists in the form of trolls are introduced. And at first, you think they're just, like, internet, you know, internet jerks, you know, oh, they're trolling us. But it turns out that these 12 trolls are not human. They're actually literal aliens, alien trolls who have previously played this world-ending game. So they're kind of stuck in this outer world, and they came in Act 5. Like, Act 5 was called Hivebend, and that's the story of the trolls. And after the trolls got introduced, the fandom exploded. So before the Act 5, it was kind of smaller, and it did get really huge. So
so it took until they got to Act 5 in High Bend to build up this huge momentum. And during this entire time, Homestuck was updating pretty much every day, occasionally multiple times a day with multiple pages of updates. And just so much canon was pouring in and so much story was happening. And then Hussey announces that he is going to take a hiatus for like an entire year to work on this huge project that he's calling Cascade. So that was a huge change. And it left off on a bunch of these different cliffhangers. And then nobody was sure what was going on. Nobody was sure what was going to happen because it's notoriously difficult to figure out what's going to happen next in Homestuck. For a year, everybody was just waiting until finally Hussey has finished his 15-minute video, but it's too big to host on the forums, so he goes and hosts it on Newgrounds. And within 2 minutes of him uploading the video to Newgrounds, Newgrounds crashes. It just goes down because so many people were rushing in to get on and watch Cascade. And so, you know, after that, there were these really cool Cascade reaction videos where people are watching Cascade for the first time and they are filming themselves and their reactions. So as they're watching this, all these things are finally coming full circle. Things are connecting. You can figure out what's happening and why. And also these really big bombs are dropping. It's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And it was also a way for fans who couldn't get onto Newgrounds to actually view Cascade. And so it was a big deal because Newgrounds went down because of this fandom and the changes that it wrought in the story. And what happened in Cascade was at the end of Cascade, the characters got split up. John and Jade and Dave Sprite are stuck in this boat and they're traveling for 3 years along this thing called the Yellow Yard, and a bunch of other characters, Rose and Dave and a couple of the other trolls, are stuck on a meteor, and they're traveling for 3 years, and for 3 years they're separate and they can't meet up with each other. So that changed a lot of fan theories, that changed a lot of, you know, assumptions about what was going to happen, and that changed, you know, a lot of the ways that people were doing fic and stuff.
That sounds really, really crazy to me. Mm. I mean, the level of hype that must have been around that, did the fandom increase in size over that year? So is that the idea, that in that year-long hiatus, people came in and they caught up on Homestuck and the fandom had just exploded by the time Cascade hit?
Honestly, like I said, I came in a year or so after Cascade. I was not part of that.
Birdie, I'm not sure how long you've been with Homestuck fandom, but were you around to witness
that? No, I'm even later than Joan. I came in about a year and a bit ago, so I'm way, way later than Joan, even. By the time I got into Homestuck, a lot of the fandom had died down because it was in the middle of a big, huge hiatus that I came in. I came in as that hiatus ended. I got caught up, and then we're on another hiatus within a half year of me getting caught up. So I've only caught the tail end of everything. At the same time, I do remember a friend of mine saying that a lot of people got into Homestuck before Cascade with the trolls. The trolls is how you get a lot of people into Homestuck, is because these guys come look at this alien society that's freaking awesome. Oh, you've got to read four acts to get to them, but they're freaking awesome. Come read them.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah. I hear a lot that after the trolls, you know, happened, people, you know, after we got the backstory for the trolls, after High Bent season 5, a lot of people joined because of the trolls and because of everything. And then Cascade was 15 minutes of music and animation in a video that got some notoriety because it crashed Newgrounds. So when you see Cascade, you're like, what the heck is that? What's going on in here? So you might want to check that out.
So you guys didn't live through the hype at the time. Going back and rewatching it and rereading the webcomic, does Cascade live up to that level of hype if it's just the next thing that you look at after finishing the webcomic?
Yes.
It's beautiful. Like, I sometimes pull it up and watch it just to watch it because it's just a really beautiful thing. The music montage that Hussey has, like, say what you want about Homestuck, and a lot of people dislike Homestuck. A lot of people sometimes hate Homestuck, and sometimes I feel a little negative towards Homestuck, but I still love the music. The music is something that's just absolutely gorgeous and can't take that away from Homestuck. And it's 15 minutes of Homestuck music with some of the best art in the Homestuck comic, with a bunch of characters in amazing emotional high-stakes scenes. And it's really just amazing because there are moments of, you know, badassery, and then there are moments of tenderness, and there are moments of just holy crap. And by the end of it, it wraps it all up in a sort of little, this is how far we've come. And it just leaves you sitting there like, oh, that was worth it.
And Bertie, what do you think? What was it like for you when you first saw Cascade?
Oh, I saw it with a friend, and she'd been talking it up for a good 50 pages. And I got to it, and I was like, holy shit. Like, it's everything it was hyped to be. And the music is one of my favorite tracks. Like, because the thing about the music is, not only is it a good music in itself, it combines other bits of the music into one song. So you get trap bits and pieces of other stuff, and it all comes together, and everything just comes together. You're just sitting there going, this is so awesome.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about the trolls and how introducing the trolls kind of pre-Cascade really brought a lot of people to it. What is the appeal to fandom specifically of the trolls? I mean, I'm listening to you guys talk about them, and I hadn't realized this whole time when I've been seeing Homestuck and its association with trolls that that was meant to be a play on the idea of internet trolls and that they were aliens who were really trolls. That sounds very cool to me, but can you speak to me a little bit about why did those characters specifically suddenly bring all of these extra people into the fandom? What is it about them that people love?
There are a lot of them.
and the society is really screwed up in such a way that it is so interesting.
They're really different from humans, and each of them is a really unique character. You know, for all of Hussey's hundreds of characters, they're all different. So you've got 12 different trolls that he just threw at us, and their corresponding guardian figures, their Lusi. Singular is Lusus, so each troll has a Lusus. You've got 12 different trolls, and they're all so different, and they're all, you know, an aspect of little bits of internet culture, you know, sometimes, and real kids growing up in kind of messed up situations, and they're done in a way that you can pretty much believe that they're real people, except that they're alien trolls, and they're all kind of assholes. Both the kids and the trolls are fascinating to look at.
And they're definitely two distinct groups, sort of thing.
The alpha trolls and the beta trolls, and the alpha kids and the beta kids. Because what they do at the end of the Cascade, the ultimate goal of Cascade was to initiate this thing called a scratch, which was to sort of restart the game. Because the game had become so messed up by the time the kids were far enough in there that it was almost unwinnable. And they were all going to die. So in order to not die, they had to just scratch it all and restart, which is how we get this timey flip-floppy thing, and we get a sort of reverse version of all the trolls and a reverse version of all the kids.
Okay. So that explains one of my next questions, which was going to be, what is the scratch that I keep hearing referred to?
It is quite literally a scratch in a disc. Like,
yeah.
It's a scratch that they put in a disc.
It's a giant record player, and they had to scratch it.
Okay. So the other thing that I continually hear about, so you have these kind of milestones in Homestuck. You have the Cascade, you have Scratch, and I always keep hearing about S-Burb or Suburb.
Suburb is the game.
That's the game. It's actually S.B, because the trolls version of the game was Grub. So the kids played Spurb, and the trolls played Scrub. So it just follows a S, three letters, and then a B at the end. And that's the game. It's referred to generally as the game, and it creates universes, and it destroys universes, and it's basically what runs the universe.
Okay, so I'm just going to summarize this. For anybody else who is listening, who is like me, who does not understand Homestuck, who is listening to this thinking this sounds crazy, I want to make sure I've got this right. So you have a MS Paint Adventure, which is a kind of a play on a text-based game, but not really, created in MS Paint. And it's a web comic, but it also has elements of video and flash animation and music that come in later. Mm-hmm. It stars the main characters, which are the four kids, John, Rose, Dave, and Jade. Mm-hmm. And they play this game, which they call Suburb, mm-hmm. which is a reality-altering game uh-huh. that eventually brings about the end of the world.
Yep.
That in an alien planet or other dimension or some such thing, a group of 12 trolls are also playing, and they call the game Scrub.
They're playing their own game.
A little change here. Actually, the trolls played the game before the kids, and the trolls created the kids' universe.
Oh. Okay.
So when we say, you know, it just the game destroys universes, it also creates universes.
Okay.
If that makes it any less complicated.
There are a lot of controversies and issues in Homestuck fandom. And one of those things is that there is a kind of a belief that Homestuck fandom is incredibly difficult for a new fan to get into or for new people to join into that fandom because of the fact that you're looking at 9,000 plus pages of comic that's very long with convoluted plot with many, many characters, presumably as well, like you said, that has related in so much fan work that navigating it all across the many, many forums even in its short 6-year history would be nigh impossible. What would you say to people who are thinking of getting into Homestuck fandom?
Bertie, you want to take this first? Later than I did.
I came in way later. Like, when I came in, there was nearly 7,000 pages to get through. The only reason I got through it is because I had a friend to get me through it, like, to cheerlead me and say, you need to do.
I also had a friend.
Don't be discouraged. It's one of the things about Homestuck is that it is really, really slow to start. A lot of really good stuff doesn't start happening till much later in the acts. So some of the later acts are brilliant, and all the shenanigans with time travel and all that starts happening, but not till later. Like, it takes the first 2 and a bit acts just can be a little dragging, but it is really worth getting through them. And the other thing I got with tip was you have to read all the logs. Like, there are people who went through go through Homestuck without reading the chat logs, because half the story is conveyed in the chat logs.
A little note here about a little definition about the chat logs, because we've been referring to this as a webcomic, and people might get the idea that Homestuck is like a really traditional looking comic, like manga or DC Comics or something, where you've got like several pictures and word bubbles in them. It's actually not. Most of the comic is just one picture per page, and then there with a little bit of words underneath, which might be like what the character is doing, or it might be a chat log or a dialogue log, and you click on that log, and then it reveals what the character is saying on that page, and it could be anywhere between, you know, a line like dot, 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 or it could be paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of people talking.
Yeah, and chat logs are all in different colors for each person, and all of them have their own typing quirk, especially the trolls as you get into it later. So be patient and be prepared to have issues understanding what some of the more quirkier trolls are typing, because some of those quirks hurt my head when I'm trying to read them half the time. Get used to it.
And the trolls like puns.
They do like puns.
I would say, you know, maybe you don't have to read everything because it can get really convoluted and really hard to understand. But if you've got a sort of a gist of where things are going, it's okay to skip some things if you're getting a headache or if you're, you know, if you just can't take it anymore.
One of the other controversies of Homestuck is Andrew Hussey and the way that he interacts with the fandom or doesn't has sometimes put him at odds.
He's a bit of a troll.
He's a bit of a troll.
Really unpleasant for some people, because if we're talking about controversies, one of the biggest ones, and this was after I joined and before the major hiatuses, but what was happening was, if you notice, all the kids have just blank white faces and they're outlined in black. they don't have any skin color. And the trolls have gray skin color, but the kids don't have any skin color at all. And this has led to a lot of people saying, oh, they could be any race that you want. And of course, you get a lot of people who take issue with that because they're like, literally, they can only be white because they're white. So you get a lot of creators who are trying to represent themselves through these characters getting a lot of hate. And Hussey is obviously very, very conscious of this because he has gotten asks about this and he has replied to this. But I think the worst moment of this was when the kids, for the first time in like 7,000 pages of comic, had skin tone. And it was Caucasian white skin tone. And what happened was one of the pages had a character going up to another character who wasn't yet in trickster mode. He's like, are you okay? And she's in trickster mode with her colored in face. And she goes, I'm fine. I feel Caucasian. And the Caucasian was big and blinking lights. And it was just really in your face. It was seen as
him refuting the people who were trying to claim the characters for their own race, basically.
A lot of people saw that. And a lot of people either felt hurt because they saw it was a direct attack on them, or a lot of people used it to directly attack creators who had written or drawn the kids in races that were other than white. That caused a lot of creative people to leave Homestuck. And one of my favorite Homestuck creators, actually, she took a really, really, really long break from Homestuck and ultimately left it in a big way because of that page. Because she had received a lot of hate previous to that page, but after, people were going to come after her.
Now,
he did eventually change it from Caucasian to Peachy, and that caused another wave of people saying, oh, he's pandering, you know, that kind of thing. But, like, that page was, I support him, you know, doing that, changing it from Caucasian to Peachy, because a lot of people were using that page to hurt other people.
Yeah, that sounds actually really intense.
Yeah.
I know there are also issues, are there not, related to sexual identity that are somewhat controversial in Homestuck. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Go to you, actually, first.
Yeah, well, one of the things is that shipping is pretty weird in Homestuck because the trolls' romance system does not correlate with ours. Like, they're aliens. Why should it? It sort of does, mm-hmm. but it sort of doesn't. Like, there's one aspect that's like ours, but for the most part it's not very much. It's similar enough that you can understand it, but it's not ours, which leads to things about gender, because one of the main characters, John, has explicitly stated, I am not a homosexual, and people use that to go, well, he can't write in gay because he's not a homosexual. With other people, are like, he's a 13 at the beginning of the start fandom, 16 currently. Are you really going to say that a 16-year-old's gender sexual identity is set? And then there's the issue with the trolls. Do they have gender and do they have homosexuality as a thing? Because as far as canon is concerned, gender in troll society doesn't seem to exist. Like, the idea of gender stopping your sexual relationships just doesn't seem to matter. But there is a troll who has declared that she prefers female, Kanaya. Kanaya has stated that she prefers female relationships, and she's in one of the few relationships that are still currently canon with one of the kids. She's in a female-female relationship with one of the kids, Rose, and people take issue if you start shipping Kanaya with anyone male because you're kind of ruining her explicit statement that she prefers female relationships.
Yeah, it sounds like the canon would actually be very hard to pin down on some of these things within Homestuck, where there's maybe a lot of gray area and room for interpretation. But then there are things in canon that refute there being a gray area.
Yeah, and the thing is with the troll societies, their romance is so alien to us. Like, it literally, they have four versions of romance. Like, it is super duper extra alien.
So I'm going to actually come to Joan on that one because, yeah, the concept I know of shipping in Homestuck, especially with relation to the trolls, it revolves around this idea of quadrants.
Oh, yeah.
So explain this to me, because I know some of the ship names that I was looking at on AO3 were things like, one was called Pale Romance / Moir Allegiance. mm-hmm. and another was called Caligonus Romance / Kithesis. even just the names sounded very complicated to me. So explain how this works with these quadrants.
Okay, let's start with the ones that I think humans can understand better, which are called the concupiscent quadrants, which are more related to reproduction. So there are two versions of the concupiscent quadrants, which are flushed or metisperate ship, mate sprite ship, and pitch or black, which is kismicitude. And they're based on, according to Carcat, who he dubs himself, you know, the know-it-all, you know, eminent authority on troll relationships, they're based on either pity or hate, you know, because the trolls are really abrasive. They're a really abrasive culture, so, like, being nice to someone is weird, unless you're in a relationship with them. You know, they're kind of all jerks in that sense.
And there's no concept of love.
You can't like someone. You pity them. So flushed romance is the closest thing to our idea of a romantic relationship, where they're nice to each other, they kiss, they make out, they have sex.
And okay.
Then kismicitude is like that, except it's based on hatred. So you hate this person so much, you just want to punch their mouth with your mouth.
Okay.
And you want, the thing is, it's not like, they're my enemy, I want to destroy them. It's, they're my enemy, I want to be better than them. They're supposed to sort of, you're rivals.
So it's not then like what we would call a love-hate relationship.
It
is. No, it's a little bit, it's like, you don't want to kill them, but they're really annoying. They're so annoying. They're so, you know, it's a relationship based on irritation, but you can't live without this other person. So, you know, if you have ships, I'm not familiar with many, but, like, you have those ships where the people hate each other or are annoyed at each other constantly, but they have so much chemistry.
Right.
That's the kind of angle you want to think about when you're talking about kismicitude. And then, like I said before, trolls are a really jerk species. They've got this concept where they're a kind of aggressive race, and depending on your blood type, you're more aggressive or less aggressive. But the point is, you know, trolls at their core are supposed to be this aggressive race. So what your Moiraill is supposed to be is someone who calms you down and prevents you from getting in a fight you can't win. They're someone who you trust implicitly with, like, all your deepest secrets. They're someone that that's the pity part of the quadrant, the pity part of this half of the equation. Because you pity them so much, you don't want them to get hurt. You want to, you know, be able to hold them and make everything that's bad go away and, you know, just keep them safe and they return the favor for you and that sort of stuff. You know, and that's my favorite quadrant. That's pale romance. That's what you do. And then the final one, which everybody, you know, it's really hard for them to wrap their heads around. And I can understand it. It's basically based on the idea that you've got two trolls who should not be in a kismicitude for whatever reason. Maybe they're just so angry at each other that they'll kill each other, or maybe they're mismatched in some way, or maybe it just would not work out. So you have another troll comes in, it's like, you two idiots are going to kill each other. I value your life too much to let you guys do that, so I'm going to stop you. It's like a romantic version of cock blocking.
Okay.
That middle troll is called the Auspistus,
yeah,
something with an A, that's ash and romance, where they're basically, keeping the friendship together, keeping them together and in a functioning unit, and keeping them from killing themselves.
So that's in, like, an OT3, because there's this third troll in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Kind of, but there's, like, no sex. Like, you're trying to stop them. And the pale romance, there's no sex either.
Mm. Okay.
So the conciliatory half is sort of the more social focused. It's about keeping troll society running, because if you've got too many trolls, you know, going nuts and with bloodlust without Moiraills, then, you know, you can't get anything done. And if you got too many trolls trying to kill each other or trying to hate band each other, you can't get anything done either.
Well, that makes shipping interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you could say, like, oh, I totally ship Briska and John, and, you know, it's a valid question. Do you ship them pale or flushed?
Now I'm starting to really understand why people say Homestuck fandom is impossible to get into.
Well, the thing is, it does get all explained to you. Like, I have the pages there where they start to explain all the romance.
Yeah.
And it's like...
It's not impossible
to get your head around. It just... It's about 3,000 pages in before they actually get to this sort of stuff that you have to try and wrap your head around.
And I was going
to
say, it's not impossible. It just takes 9,000 pages to get there.
3,000, seriously. Only three.
Yeah, only three. Only three. And it's not even important for the first couple thousand because you don't even get to know the trolls before then, you know.
And by the time it becomes important, you've sort of got your head around it because they're quite nice about giving you examples of all the relationships that fit.
Yeah.
That, like, there's a really, one of the few canon couples that does fit the monolegions is Neopetra and Equius, and they're adorable.
Ah, oh, Meowrails. They even have their own little name.
They're
Meowrails, like...
This big-ass guy, super strong, breaks anything he touches, and this tiny-ass kitten girl.
Of course, okay. She does kill things and eat them in her cave, you know? So, Nepeta isn't helpless. Like,
no.
Just to put this out there. She's
not.
She's definitely strong enough to handle Equius. It's just...
She doesn't look it.
He's physically one of the strongest trolls. And he can't control his strength so that he breaks, like, pretty much everything he touches, like Birdie said. But their Moira allegiance is so good, it's called a universal constant in Homestuck, which means that in the infinite universes that canonically exist in Homestuck, if there's a Nepeta and if there's an Equius, they're gonna hook up as Moirails.
All right.
Because they're so good together.
Man, there's so many shipping possibilities, too. I can see why fandom is attracted to the comic, for sure.
They have their own... The quadrants have their own little symbols based on card suits. So,
Flush is hearts.
Yep. Flush romance is hearts. Pitch romance is spades. Pale romance is diamonds. And ashen romance is clubs.
Okay. This all sounds crazy to me.
Well, the thing is that it's one of the... By when you get into the romance and stuff, it actually does help with other fandoms. Like, because shipping people pale in the diamonds works for so many... Would be what romance would be. You can't ship people...
Yeah, so is it similar to, like, with the Harry Potter houses, where you can take these romantic concepts and you can apply them outside of Homestuck fandom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely
helps.
All
my shipping is pale.
Okay.
80% of my shipping is pale, and the other 19% is ashen.
That actually sounds really fun.
It is. My favorite things to do when I get into a new fandom, my friends and I tend to, like, sort people into quadrants, like, who's this person's Moirail, or are they in clubs with this person, or that kind of stuff. And when you look at some relationships, they actually make more sense through the lens of Homestuck quadrants than they don't. Because, like, if you ever have those friendships where, like, two people have nothing in common, they would hate each other, but there's this one person that they're both friends with, it's like, that's such an ashen romance right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of shipping, though, and we were talking about some of the controversies and kind of issues within Homestuck fandom that can be very divisive, we are talking as well about relationships, and I'm not sure if this is the case now, but that at least initially in the fandom were involving kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because we referred to the four main characters as kids, so how old are they supposed to be, just to give us an idea at the beginning of Homestuck?
13.
13.
It's the 13th birthday of the main character. Like, we come in on his 13th birthday. And I don't think they've gotten past 16. They're 16 now.
They're 16 now after the 3-year time skip. But initially, all the characters were 13 or the troll equivalent thereof. The trolls measure things in different years. But they're all chronologically 13 Earth years old.
Okay, so... How does the fandom handle that then? Because presumably you are talking, when you are shipping anybody with anybody, about a lot of what would be considered underage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's handled by not handling it. They just, people...
Yeah.
They ignore the fact that they are canonically children. Like, And well, for one thing, once the world is destroyed and they're in an alternate universe, like they're in another dimension, it sort of gets a bit of a case of, well, the world just ended. Of course, these kids are going to be doing kid things, which apparently teenage things, which is sex and all that. But yeah, it's one of those things that the fandom just sort of tends to ignore a lot.
And there's a lot of AU. Yeah. Fics, like, one of the top ways people write Homestuck fic is AU fic, and in a lot of AU fic, or at least a lot that I read, and I don't generally go in for the fleshed or pitch romance, they're aged up.
Yes.
To where it's not so squicky that they're so young. If they're gonna be, you know, doing romance things.
So, we'll talk about that too, because that is one thing I noticed when I was kind of looking through AO3, and when I was reading over some different things about Homestuck, is that you're right, that there's a lot, it's a very, very, very big fandom for AUs, right?
Probably the only way to write a fic that you know won't get joshed is to write, is to write AU, because not only does Hossie have a tendency to josh any future theories, he has a tendency to do retcons, and there's been a couple already that have technically changed what happened isn't what happened because of what happened. It's time travel shenanigans.
So, to give you an example of how messed up guessing is in Homestuck, in Steven Universe and in Gravity Falls, they're both, you know, tightly plotted cartoon series with clues dropped off about some obvious things like this. I'm gonna, you know, if anybody hasn't seen Gravity Falls yet, I'm gonna spoiler alert it. Grunkle Stan has a twin brother, and a lot of people, you know, before this reveal, a lot of people were saying, oh, look at this and look at this and look at this, look at all this evidence here, he's obviously got a twin brother. And I was sitting here, you know, it's like, wow, that's a really good theory. I wonder how it's going to be wrong. Because I'm so used to Hussie just destroying everybody's expectations about what's going to happen, that even a well-thought-out, like, I wasn't sure how it was going to be wrong, but I was sure that this well-thought-out, relatively sane canon was going to come out of the left and pull a fast one on me and just, you know, completely mess everybody's theories up.
That makes sense, I think, that there would be a lot of AUs in that fandom then.
Yeah, you can't really write canon fanfic. Yeah. Like, it's nearly impossible to write canon fanfic because of the plot structure and the game mechanics. They're so weird.
Yeah, you're saying it was all the evidence leading up to the theory. Hussie will sometimes give you a something happen and then go back and draw in the evidence leading to that thing happening. Like, he's literally, quite literally, changed pictures. So if you're to read through Homestuck now, you will not be seeing the same artwork that I saw when I first read it. And I didn't see the first artwork that was actually drawn, because I came in after one retcon before another. So it's one of those things that when you came into the fandom determines what you saw. So for people who come in now, they'll see, oh yeah, I saw that all the way back then. I didn't realize what it meant then, but oh, it's cool. But for me, it's like, that was drawn in. That was a new thing that wasn't there when I read it.
For an example, there's a part where John reaches through time and space. Yeah. Like, he literally reaches through a hole in time and space. And as he was moving forward, Hussie showed all these pics of John's arm in random scenes.
Yeah.
You know, that when I read that, it wasn't there.
But when I read it, it was.
Yeah. Because I came in. He went back and put the arms in there.
Oh. Okay.
So when I read it, those hands were in the thing because they'd been drawn in, but they weren't there when they were originally published. So.
Gotcha.
That's what I mean.
Well, so let's talk about some of the different AUs that exist, because those are also similar to the shipping, extremely specific and distinctive to Homestuck, right?
Yeah.
So there's a tendency among Homestuck fans to kind of put stuck on the end of words, right?
Yep.
So you have an AU called Human Stuck, and that's all of the characters are humans, and it's just kind of mundane.
You say mundane, but it's a fairly interesting one.
Well, mundane for Homestuck, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming?
Human Stuck can be anything, anywhere from, like, you know, your humdrum coffee shop to everybody's living in a magical fantasy world and all these human kids have powers.
But I'm assuming the primary thing is that mainly you're taking the trolls and you're making them human.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also another race that's introduced later, but yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a similar one called Species Swap, where the trolls are humans and the humans are trolls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of stories that are post-Spurb, so post when they start or end playing the game.
Yep.
Or that kind of are how they cope with the end of the game and then going back to their lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also have, there's one that I looked at was called Blood Swap. And that has to do with the hierarchic society.
Yeah, yeah.
The trolls belong that to you. So yes. Similar to, I imagine it being very similar to, like, in Harry Potter when you're writing a Slytherin AU where Harry's a Slytherin. It just kind of mixes things up with the trolls.
A bit, but yes, it's more like, well, the thing with the trolls is that they're very hierarchical and each troll has a different blood color. So the colder your blood, the better in troll society. So there's two types of blood swap. There's ones where they swap it around so the warmer your blood is, the better. And the other ones where they swap who has what color. So, which is pretty much the same effect, but at the same time it's different because based on your blood color you have different abilities and strength and all that.
Okay. So what are some other AUs that you guys see as you're in Homestuck fandom that are like that are kind of specific to something only Homestuck would really do?
No game AUs.
No game
AUs. You have the post-game, yep, and then you have just the game didn't exist.
Yeah.
And that can be anywhere from it focuses only on the kids stuck on Earth, it focuses only on the trolls stuck on Earth, it focuses on an intergalactic society where the trolls and the kids are wandering around. That's one.
And another one.
So the world does get destroyed.
Another one I see is this one called Pet Stuck. I've read a couple, but I don't tend to read it, but I have seen it. It's where the trolls exist in our world, and they're our pets, but they're they've still got the intelligence they have as trolls, it's just that we don't see them as having that, and they're treated as pets, and it's really sad.
Okay. Which is interesting one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Joan, what are your fic recs?
Okay, my three... These are kind of representative of a lot of the stuff. Okay, the first one is a really, really old fanfic called Unhinged by Red Pen. It's on AO3. It's honestly one of my favorites. It's where Rose, who is really interested in therapy and stuff, her tag name is Tentacle Therapist, she becomes the psychiatrist for one of the villains, and she slowly turns him against his friends. And I think it's a really well done comic, and I think it's really fun to read. It's fun to watch Rose just basically maniacally twisting this guy's mind. It's written before the trolls were even a thing, so it's just the kids and just the initial bad guys. So it's a really good basic fic. The second one is just a really personal favorite. Miracle Child by Bramble Patch is another really well-written fic, and it's a post-game AU where the trolls go back to their lives and have to make their way through the messed-up nightmare that is Alternian society. And it's got what I think is a really good example of both pale romance and ashen romance with a couple of Bramble's really well-written OCs. It might be a little controversial these days because Pale Gamzee and Karkat got sunk really hard in the comic and Gamzee kind of turned into nobody even knows anymore. But it's still a personal favorite and it's really close to my heart because I made two good friends from it just talking about it. And my last fic is Detective Pony. And this one is really amazing because what happened is there's a moment in the comic, the webcomic, where one of the kids gives a present to another kid of a Pony Pals book where he writes over the entire book. He makes a fanfic of the book, basically. And what this person did was they wrote that book.
Okay.
It's incredibly meta in a very Homestuck way, and I think it really would be the book that would be written if Hussey gave us the book. Like, if he said, this is this is what I wrote, and it was word for word what was in that fic, I would not be surprised.
Okay, so three good fic recs then there. And Birdie, what about your fic recs?
Well, firstly, we mentioned a video earlier, the one that Joan was talking about, that they did the final battle. Yeah, it's a really good video that they did, because we're not actually mentioning, I'm recing fics too, and we're not mentioning any of the really good art and video stuff out. So one of the recs I have is called Cult Stuck by Eleanor Pam. It's a No Game AU. There's a thing in the comics where one of the trolls' ancestor sort of accidentally started a cult. And it sort of explores the reality of, well, if there was no game and this was real, what would that be like? And it's what also really good in that it's got art as part of the writer is also an artist, so they've put art throughout the work, and it's really, really good. It's the first story is completed, but it's a series, it's a work in progress, and it's quite good. So that one's, it's a No Game AU, it's really cool. And the other one is just a flat out AU called, I'm gonna wreck the first fic in the series called Home Is Where the Heart Is by Serlum Brum. But it's a part of about, there's about four fics in the series. It's about what would have happened if all the troll kids had crashed on Earth and had to be integrated into our society. It's apparently a crossover with another fandom, but you don't have to know the other fandom to know it. And so it's pretty much how would their really bloodthirsty society interact with ours when they're being forced to integrate into our society. And it's going about goes really dark because there's a whole serial killer trying to kill people going on at the same time as integrating. Yeah, you probably know it. It's really, really good. And even if you don't know all the characters, you could probably read it because it gives them their own personality.
So me being a noob and me listening to you kind of talk at length about many things that are way over my head and about human stuck and trolls and quadrants and all of this kind of Homestuck stuff, what is so great about Homestuck fandom, and why should I or anyone listening who's thinking, I've been wondering about Homestuck, come and be a part of that fandom? So Joan, we'll start with you.
Oh gosh. My top three things about the Homestuck fandom that I really, really like. One, I really like the quadrants. I just really like the way that they're set up, and I think that Pale Romance being on a level with sexual romance is a really important concept that everybody should, know and accept. And I just really love Pale Romance and Ashen Romance, and they're really awesome, and they'll help your shipping so much. Two, the music. The music is just fantastic. It's just out of this world. And three, it's a wild ride, and there are so many characters that you're bound to find one that you really like. There's bound to be that one character that you're just, I hate that, it's like, I'm having a terrible day, let's see what this character is up to.
Okay.
And you'll be able to find it.
And Birdie, what about you? Give me the pitch on Homestuck as a fandom.
Well, as Joan was saying, the art and the music that the fandom creates is some of the best I've seen. Like, I can't think of a fandom that has such consistently great art that everyone seems to create. Not that I'm saying other fandoms don't have great art, it's just that Homestuck, for some reason, it's so big that there are so many brilliant artists, and there's so many different AUs and the fic that is out there, because because there's so much of it, there's a huge lot of it that is really, really, really good. But I think mostly it's because I read fandom because a friend told me I needed to, and reading it was an experience in itself. Just not even being part of the fandom, just reading Homestuck was a huge experience that was, well, it was fun. I'll say pretty much you should read Homestuck because, one, you'll finally know what everyone's been going on about on your dash when they start going on about it again in, like, a month's time. And two, there's so much to do and so much to read, and art and music and everything in the fandom, that it will be well worth your time to read Homestuck.
honestly, if I had the time to get into another fandom.
Just read 10 pages a night. The next thing you'll know, you'll be halfway through it, and you won't want to stop.
I know. It sounds like a wild ride that's just highly entertaining. Andrew Hussey sounds like exactly the kind of polemic kind of creator who people have a love-hate relationship, who I'm usually interested in knowing about. And the quadrants and the sexuality of all of that just sounds so fascinating. So I hope that my listeners are as now enthused about jumping into Homestuck fandom as me, but have maybe more time than me.
So that's our show. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that it inspired you, if you haven't given Homestuck a try yet, to maybe check it out. If you're a fan of Homestuck, I hope you still found it a good recap of the fandom and the things that have happened within it. We tried to cover as much of it as we could, but obviously I know there are things that we missed, things we forgot about, things that we just didn't have time to get to, so I encourage you to please let me know if you're in Homestuck fandom. We want your feedback, and if you're outside of it, maybe go and look and check it out, and know that we definitely only hit the tip of the iceberg. Now, a quick announcement before I get into listener feedback. In just a week or two, the weekend of April 29th to May 1st, the OT podcast will be live. We will be doing a live show at Ad Astra, and I don't mean live to listeners, I mean for an audience. And Ad Astra is a convention held at the Sheraton Parkway North Hotel in Toronto, Ontario. Contributors J.M. Fry, Di, and Katie will be joining me to talk a little bit about the intersection between fanfiction and their real lives, and when the online world has had an offline impact. So come out and join us if you're in the area and interested. There's also going to be a ton of other great panels on fanfiction happening that weekend, and a ton of great science fiction and fantasy authors for you to meet and learn from and talk to. So more info on that can be found at ad-astra.org. So ad-astra.org. So it's time for our listener feedback and comments. And thank you all so much, because the comments on our RPF episode were absolutely amazing. I wish I could read all of them, but I've picked out a couple of the most interesting ones this week to share with you on the first question we had asked, which was why you all thought that RPF was so stigmatized both within and outside of the fandom. Now, we got a great answer from Wherever I May Find Her, that's their username, on the Dreamwidth. They said, I definitely think that the main reason it's stigmatized is the perception that it's all weird porn and that people writing or reading it can't distinguish reality from fantasy. However, I think there also might be some confusion as to just how, quote, real, unquote, RPF is and how much factors like the person's family play into it. For instance, my friend and I, who are both in the Hamilton fandom, they say, hello, fellow Hamilton trash. We're talking the other day, and they brought up the subject of RPF and how people seem to be shipping some members of the cast, and they were confused about why people would ship Lin-Manuel Miranda, considering that he has a wife. Given that example, I think that some of the hesitance might come from feeling like RPF is in some way disrespectful of a person's actual family. They got some great responses to that, which I encourage you to go read. It started a whole little conversation. So Sassy Le, so S-A-S-I-L-E from LiveJournal, they said, a prominent feature of especially the SBN, so Supernatural RPF fandoms, is the number of wild AUs. RPF AUs really showcase the fact that the RPs we are shipping are characters or personas, not actual people. And a lot of people seem more comfortable with that kind of RPF. Character one, who looks like one actor and shares some personality traits, being a space pirate who kidnaps and falls in love with character two, who shares physical descriptions with and is inspired by this other actor. And that led into a conversation about AUs and RPF fandom, and the ways that that kind of demonstrates the point that we made in the show about how they really are not trying to mirror real life. There was a lot of conversation actually about Supernatural RPF, which is an enormous fandom, and it was really interesting. And finally, an Anon on the Dreamwidth pointed out that consent in RPF is a concern for a lot of people. So they said, what makes it hard for me to read and appreciate RPF is the lack of consent. It is a real person that is not consented to have their person manipulated. They get enough of that from magazines and paparazzi. Their private life, real or imagined, is their own and not my place to go. A fictional character that is explicitly fictional has no rights or ability to consent or not consent, as they are a construct of imagination. In our culture, fictional constructs are acceptable forms on which to project yourself or manipulate because of there being no consent issues. This is also why fiction in which there is dubious consent is fun, because you know there is no real person who is going to be hurt. And again, we got a lot of great responses to that one as well about what consent means and whether or not celebrities consent or not. We honestly got so many great responses, and there was some amazing conversations from people. We got into incest RPF, being a fan of RPF without even knowing the actors or the fandom, and historical RPF. So I really do hope everyone who is interested in that topic checks out our Dreamwidth, and that's otpodcast.dreamwidth.org, and keeps the conversation going, because there really is a lot to talk about and a lot of opinions there. And then this week, we also, of course, have questions going up on the Dreamwidth about Homestuck fandom. Question one for this week is, what tips do you have if you're in Homestuck fandom for new fans looking to get into Homestuck? You heard our contributors share some, like make sure you read the chat logs and have a friend. But we welcome anyone else's encouragement and thoughts on being a new Homestuck fan and how to join that fandom if you want to come out and do some cheerleading. Question two is, what do you think of Andrew Hussey as a creator? And again, this is more for Homestuck fans, but as we mentioned, he can be somewhat controversial. I know there are other interactions he's had with fans that we didn't get a chance to get into, and so I'm genuinely curious what Homestuck fans think of him and what that relationship is like. So come and share your thoughts on that with us. And of course, if you have opinions about the end of Homestuck to share, we're going to be giving you a little place to squee about that as well, if you would like to. Thanks to everyone again for listening. Thanks to Birdie and Joan for being so educational and for contributing and bearing with me. As always, you can find us on Tumblr as OT Podcast and AO3 as the_OTP. All of our fic recs are linked there. You can also subscribe to our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. So lots of ways to subscribe and listen. Thanks again to Peter Tchaikovsky for our theme song and logo. And as always, your kink is not my kink, and that's okay.